Well, there is a cosmic conspiracy. I'm just going to ask a plain and simple question right up front. What is it?
Well, the cosmic conspiracy is, in very short, simple terms, a conspiracy to defraud the entire population of the world into accepting a new world order, which the Bible says will come at the end of this age and will be run by what is called the Antichrist and the false prophet.
About UFOs, are they real?
Well, UFO is an unidentified flying object, and in that definition, there have been UFOs for a long time, even back into the late 1800s in Texas there, where one crashed.
If they're real, and I too believe they are, then why all the hush-hush? Why not just bring this subject right on out into the open and talk about it like mature ladies and gentlemen?
In the beginning of the modern development of this technology, humans were involved. After World War II ended, Germany, Russia, the United States, Great Britain, Canada, Australia, a number of countries got together. And the leading physicists, industrialists, engineers, politicians even, got together and said, look, we cannot afford to have another war with the technology that we saw in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Ooh. It will be the end of the human race. So to defend our race of humans, to keep us alive somehow, we have to come up with a plan to fool people of Earth mm-hmm. into accepting a new global order that is made up of cultures, but only one nation state. And they had seen that the United Nations and League of Nations would not work. People will not negotiate peacefully and come to a common solution on their own. They saw that Hitler failed when he forced people in Europe under his boot, and the French resistance brought him down with their striking here yes. and there. And so they knew that in the long run that a dictatorship of the world would not work, not like that. So they decided to develop alternate technology, advanced technology in medicine, physics, transportation, energy distribution, creation, and keep it secret from the people of the world and from the universities so that they could develop a ruse, a deception. And that would be that at some future date after the end of World War II, when they had enough technology aside, and when the world was threatened with possible nuclear war ahead of the time, they would do it in the press. And when we had famines and global crises and people were crying out for someone to solve it, that they would invent a fake alien landing with flying saucers and anti-gravity and advanced medicine and all kinds of stuff. They would impress our best minds in the universities because they'd say it'd be impossible, but it's magic. Here it is. And that this new created alien landing would then allow the people of Earth to be fooled into accepting this new one world order to give it a try. Mm-hmm. To overcome their religious and cultural and financial differences. Great plan, great idea. And that's where the legend of Alternative 3 came from in the old UFO days in the 50s and 60s. That was the third alternative. But what happened in the time of Eisenhower in the early 50s is our mankind's plan to do this was interrupted by meeting real, quote-unquote, alien critters, little short gray things and tall ones and people that look like us. And apparently, I wasn't there, but apparently a contract or an agreement was made between the planners of the Earth people and this group to form joint research facilities, put them underground, under the ocean. And I know this because I was recruited by Dr. Teller, who was part of that program, to develop flying saucers. That's just part of the technology. Now, in my opinion, what we're calling aliens, those gray critters, are nothing more than biological robots without souls. They're very, you know, dispassionate when they capture people and do tests on them. The humans like us, taller, better looking, and whatever, those, I think, are what the Bible speaks of as a fallen ones coming from up there, parallel universe, space, whatever. Mm-hmm. Satan and his minions. And that's, I know that kind of sounds too immature, like, you know, myths and Bible stories, but there is a head being of all these guys that our people were dealing with, and I assume that's the same one that they spoke of as Lucifer or Satan in the Arabic and Sumerian writings and the Christian and Hebrew Bible. So that's what was happening after World War II, and I think that is summed up by saying it is a cosmic conspiracy.
Now, I think many of us, in fact, increasing numbers of people understand, going back to 1947, Roswell, Philip Corso wrote his famous book, The Day After Roswell, how everything changed in 1947 moving forward. And as a student of Bible prophecy, that rings a bell with me, because 1947-48 was the birth of modern Israel, and everything has begun to change in the world system since that date. But right after that, the Eisenhower administration assembled groups of the most intelligent men that it could find to try to deal with this situation that you're talking about, the implications of Roswell, this possibly superior race visiting planet Earth, and students of Bible prophecy have been trying to integrate all of that with the words of the Bible and Bible prophecy. How do you make sense of all this? Electrogravitics, you mentioned, and you suggest in this book that what we call anti-gravity, what many, many people see, quote-unquote UFOs, unidentified flying objects, hovering with no apparent means of propulsion, and they kind of wobble and they bobble and they dart here and they dart there, and they have a very peculiar style of locomotion and flight. And people have said, wow, are those things real? And if they are, how in the world do they stay aloft? What are they doing? Well, and you think that you understand how they work.
Yes, I wasn't part of that division of our research into advanced propulsion technology with Dr. Teller, but I did cross the barriers and talk to some of the people that work in that program. I saw the photos inside how the fuel coils worked. And the thing that impressed me was, like, they referred it like a bumblebee. In aerodynamics in university, they teach you a bumblebee is so poorly designed aerodynamically that it can't fly.
Yes.
But God forgot to tell him. And the secret to a bumblebee is that a bumblebee will take his wings and rotate them like this and generate a circulating ball of air around him where the air recirculates, and he adds energy to it and creates a moving ball of air around him that starts to move because it's got direction to it and it's lowering the pressure the direction he wants to go. That's why a bumblebee, when he goes to land, has to crash. He has to break the bubble of air and land clumsily.
Mm-hmm.
Flying saucers, anti-gravity, pump energy into a field you can't see. It's electromagnetic. And it'll go out in, say, a 30-foot diameter craft. That field will maybe be 800 feet in diameter.
Hmm.
And it doesn't happen instantly. They pump it up with a lower energy power source until they've got, like the bumblebee, this big circulating field going in and around the crew and the craft. And then they use an even smaller amount of energy to pinch that field to go that direction.
Wow.
And because they are scooping out the air or any matter in front of them and pushing it behind them, they create a hole for themselves to fall into second after second or microsecond after microsecond. That's why they don't leave a wake. That's why there's no sonic boom. And they dissipate the heat behind them in the curls that come off of that field.
And having read many UFO stories over the years, UFO percipients, people who have been contacted one way or another by these things, often report kind of a strange feeling on their skin, like prickling or like static electricity or something.
Yes.
And so what you're saying might go some way toward explaining that.
It does. And I'm sure that you've read reports where the witnesses seeing bright lights in the sky at night, they would see it come moving up to a point, stop, flash of light, and go at right angles out that direction. You don't hear many high-speed reports of high-speed lights going, whoo, in a nice arc. You see them going, jump, jump, jump.
Yes.
Now, the reason is, when they want to turn a corner, the field is going through their body and through the craft. They have to take that energy, change the direction of it, and when they de-energize the molecules of the ship and the crew, it alters the rate of time passage for the crew. if they were looking out a window at people down there watching them, when they go to turn that corner, everybody down here would go into slow motion. It might take the people on board the craft 3 or 4 minutes to get around that corner because they were traveling at, say, 20,000 miles an hour. And if you turn a corner that quick in a normal thing, the inertia would flatten you and kill you. But they spread that inertial change, that the G-forces, they change that over a longer period of time than a fraction of a second. They amortize the turn. And that's why you'll see at that turn point, after they finish, they'll throw off a bright amount of energy as they now resume traveling in a straight line. And that's why they jump. It's they'll go, stop, turn the corner, play cards, have a cup of tea, get around the corner, throw the energy off, and go again.
Stan, I remember years ago a Reverend Barry Downing wrote a book called The Bible and Flying Saucers, in which he tried to integrate the then hot topic of flying saucers with Scripture. And I remember, maybe it was the first time that I ever thought about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, where Paul is talking to Christians, and he says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So the Bible says there is a prince of the power of the air. That is the atmospheric heavens. And I thought at the time when Barry Downing mentioned this, well, okay, the prince of the power of the air would be Satan.
Yeah.
He travels maybe in some kind of a strange conveyance that is just beyond human vision. And his minions, you know, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness travel the same way. And is that heading toward where you're going with this?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a great deception that is being prepared to lay on the people of the earth, deceiving them, thinking that Satan, who arrives with these friendly elder brothers in space, is going to save mankind. He's going to look. The lie will be absolutely letter perfect. Satan reads the Bible. He will answer the questions of the bad guys, the alien critters. He'll get rid of them and people will cheer. And get this, the Illuminati we speak of, the rich and wealthy that have sided, mm-hmm. you know, with this, they're going to go down and Satan's people will take him down, the Antichrist will take him down and say, these bad bankers, these bad industrialists, the Illuminati, we'll get rid of them. And you'll find a lot of people will cheer that, thinking, right, we finally won. Mm-hmm. But it will be a deception. We're told to watch out for an incredible deception that would deceive the very elect in the end days, if it were possible.
Wow. Now, Daniel talks about the Antichrist as a man who is, I guess, in some way in contact with dark forces, dark powers. You go to Revelation, chapter 13, it talks about the same thing from a slightly different point of view. It talks about dark powers, it calls about calling down fire from heaven, all these things. These powers that we read about in the Bible, these dark forces, that's what you're talking about.
Yes.
The use of this power to create a governing body that wants to govern the entire world. Now, I'm going to ask you, from your perspective and after decades of research, what's happening right now? Where are we along this timeline of development? Are we close to seeing perhaps some of the outgrowth of this long conspiracy?
Yes. And with watching Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, watching him lay down the gauntlet before our Congress, kind of implied, saying that the peace negotiation that the Obama administration are making in the Middle East dealing with Iran won't work. We're at the precipice where Israel is going to have to make military action against Iran and the nuclear facilities unilaterally. No one is going to help them. And I know that Israel will win this. They have technologies way advanced in the nuclear field and other fields as well. I have met with some of their naval people in the past in Israel, so I know that they do have these technologies. Now, they are going to precipitate what would be viewed by some as the beginning of World War III when they strike these Arab nations. They're going to bring down, like, Qasem Soleimani, who's the head of the Quds forces for Iran. He's beating ISIS, and that's why Obama's saying he's a good guy and will support him. But he's going to turn very shortly and probably through the Golan Heights come down in and after Israel with an alliance of, Syria and Iran, Iraq, and the Lebanon. This is going to be a conflict that the world will go, oh no, Israel has started World War III. Israel is guilty. And at the height of this, people are going to be crying out for a solution. And we're not going to give it to them in the States, but Satan is, with the deception flying in and say, wait, come on. Let's stop this. Let's make a peace treaty.
Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians about a man who at some point in the future will stand up in the temple of God and declare himself to be God, and he will assume a mantle of great authority.
Yes.
Now, if you stop and think about that, that is quite a mouthful. I mean, could such a thing really happen? Could someone have access to the kind of power that would enable him to stand up and say, I am God, and people would then actually believe him? That would be an incredible deception.
Well, it would be, and it will be. This being, this human hybrid, whatever he will be, will dictate to the earth into this new world order, but he'll do so with the help of super beings. In Daniel, it says, with the help of alien God. And there's no mistaking what they meant there. This alien little g god will give the Antichrist of the earth technologies to overcome all the fortresses of the earth and to capture the planet and deal with him by force. Now, it's interesting that Paul is talking about him standing in the temple and declaring himself God, because he says this man, this Antichrist, will not respect the God of his fathers. He will not respect or worship the God of gods, the desire of women, or any other god. And in the coding in Daniel, the desire of women should read the son of the Messiah, because the women of Israel always wanted to be the mother of the Son of God. Mm-hmm. So that it was coding by Daniel for only the people with the knowledge of the rest of the Hebrew culture could read that. He puts himself above the God of gods, the Creator, the Son of God, and every other god. So it tells you in many ways there what he's going to do. He's going to say, I worship no God, I am God, and I will honor a God of forces, but not worship him.
The God of forces. In the Hebrew, and I've seen this translated, the God of fortresses, fortifications, maybe powers, the God of powers. That brings me back to your book, The Cosmic Conspiracy, because you talk about power in this thing and the wielding of power that's considered now to be almost science fiction. But there are people out there that are learning to wield great power, and perhaps the power to call down fire from heaven. And they seem to be in league with extraterrestrials, or shall we say, these strange beings spoken of in the Bible from another dimension. You know, when you study Bible prophecy, Stan, you don't have to limit yourself just to a few little scriptures. There are large concepts in the Bible, and you sort of go for those concepts, don't you?
Well, I like a good puzzle, and like you, I've been finding a lot of puzzle pieces in the book of Daniel.
Yes, the book of Daniel does speak of essentially what we're talking about right now, does it not?
Absolutely.
And Daniel spoke of a day in the far future when knowledge would increase. And the idea, I think, in his thinking was it would increase in a way that it never has before. And we would say an exponential growth of knowledge.
It wouldn't make sense any time before now to talk about aliens or flying saucers or anti-gravity.
Yeah.
This wouldn't have made sense to anybody in the world until our generation.
It wouldn't have made sense that Daniel, all those years ago, could have written about all of the things that are happening right now that people are just beginning to dare to speak about. And in a lot of Christian circles, this is still forbidden conversation.
It's sad, but that's true.
But we're trying to kind of crack that open a little bit and show you that the Bible is a book that keeps right up with modern physics, modern science, rapid developments in global power, global transportation. The Bible is not left behind in any of this. In fact, it's way ahead of us, in my opinion.
Yes.
And always was.
It's not a dead book. It is a live book now, and it's very important to our lives today.